This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Our special guest today, Representative Randy Feenstra. He's a member of the House Ag Committee, also House Ways and Means Committee from Iowa. Representative Randy Feenstra set to join us in just a moment. Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins talking about some of the ways that USDA is responding to the recent Nebraska wildfires.
Livestock operations have been affected, including some of America's top beef-producing counties. Homes have been lost, livelihoods have been upended, and families have seen the land, fourth, fifth, sixth generations that we just met with, seen the land that they have depended on and worked for generations, including rangelands and pasture, billow up in smoke in a matter of minutes.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our special guest is the Honorable Representative Randy Feenstra from Iowa, and he's a member of the House Ag Committee and also the Ways and Means Committee. Welcome back to the show.
Tony, great to be on. Always great to be with you.
Okay. There's been a lot going on since you and I talked last, and I guess one of those is the passage of a 2026 Farm Bill through the House Ag Committee. Let's talk about that. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I tell you what, I was really excited to get it passed, especially with seven Democrats also supporting it, so it's very bipartisan. This gives us the opportunity to make sure that we get it off the House floor and we get it over to the Senate. I mean, this is such an important bill when it comes to conservation, when it comes to research, when it comes to a lot of trade. And there's a lot of trade issues in this bill. When it comes to the Fridge Act, opening up the export market in Africa for things that need refrigeration, whether it be cattle, hogs, dairy, all these things. And this, again, we want more markets, and this is what it does, and that's what this Farm Bill does. So I'm very bullish on where we are in this Farm Bill. And now with President Trump saying, hey, we got to get this Farm Bill passed really quickly so the administration is behind it. So let's hang on, and hopefully we can get this thing out of the House in the next several weeks.
Now, we got quite a bit of this done early on through the One Big Beautiful Bill. This, though, finalizes everything. You mentioned you had bipartisan support. We already know there will be a handful of Republicans who will vote against this, who have voted against farm bills in the past. Is there some concern moving forward about building a coalition to get it at least through the House at this point?
Yeah, that's what we're working on right now. I mean, we are working on building that coalition with Democrats and Republicans. Obviously, we got to get it to pass, and we're going to make sure that we have the votes before it passes. Obviously, President Trump said he'll sign it once we get it passed. But we're now trying to have everybody understand what's in this. I mean, it's a spending neutral bill. And it really, at this point, we got to help out the American farmers. I mean, this is so critical that we get this passed. There's a lot of key components in here that will really help, especially when it comes to opening more markets, more trade ideas in here. Also, the safety for our food. There's a lot of different nutrition issues when it comes to safety. And then also the Farmland Act, protecting the farmland in America and Iowa that our foreign adversaries aren't buying it. So, you know what? I think we're going to get bipartisan support on the House floor to get it passed. We'll probably get 15 to 25 Democrats, and that will be enough to get it over to the Senate. And the Senate already said that, boy, if they can get a very big bipartisan bill passed, then they'll have to take it up in the Senate and get it to the governor, or get it to Trump's desk.
Our guest today is the Honorable Randy Feenstra, representing Iowa, member of the House Ag Committee and House Ways and Means Committee. This is the Agribusiness Report.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members, or strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Our guest today, Randy Feenstra, representing Iowa in the House of Representatives, member of the House Ag Committee and House Ways and Means. Let's talk E15 year round. What's happening?
So this is going to be a big week. The EPA sounds like they're going to come out with their set two rules. They're going to come out with the RVO sets and all this other stuff. So this is going to be a really significant week. But it's also a big week for us in the biofuels world. Again, domestic energy is desperately needed. We're just simply asking for year-round E15. And if it doesn't pass, as we're already seeing one state after another passing it, so it really creates this mixed fabric in our country. That's why it's so important that we do it across all states. And again, we're working as a council. I'm chair of the E15 council, meaning we put this council together about a month ago to say, hey, we are going to get a vote on this. And leadership has said that we will get a vote. So we're putting this together, working with small, medium-sized, and large refiners, getting them all on board, also with all the different biofuel components to make sure that they're on board. And we got a bill very close to ready to go to see the light. And then it's just a matter of whipping votes and getting it over the finish line.
Now, you said this would be a big week. White House event coming up. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I tell you what, on Friday, Trump is getting a bunch of farmers and congressional members together to talk about this is National Ag Day, National Ag Week. To talk about what we can do to lower fertilizer costs. This is such a big deal right now, is getting those lower fertilizer costs. And then also making sure that we open trade markets. Again, we don't want checks. We want more trade markets, and that's what we want to talk about. Then also making sure that we continue to grow the American farm production in different facets. And obviously that farm bill is going to be a critical part of that.
And it's interesting that you mentioned trade, because as I introduced you, for those who don't know, when it comes to Ways and Means, that's the committee that really is, trade is under your purview there. Kind of interesting.
We talk about trade a lot, and we know, especially now with what happened with the Supreme Court, Ways and Means has a lot of work to do to codify some of our trade deals that we have. Obviously, USMCA is coming up. I met with Mexico and Canada already on what they're looking at and what the U.S. is looking at, working with our U.S. trade ambassador, Greer, putting all these things together. But the bottom line is that we need more markets for our commodities. And that's what we're working on. I know that's what Greer is working on. And that's our whole goal, to help Iowa and the rest of the country.
Well, you mentioned Iowa. I read something here about a farmer coalition in Iowa. What's happening there?
Well, I tell you what, again, we are the breadbasket to the world. I mean, the Midwest, Iowa, we're the breadbasket to the world. And our backbone, our economic backbone, is agriculture. So we're creating this big group of farmers for Feenstra, making sure that we understand and that we figure out ways and solutions to grow our ag economy, not only in our state, but all across the country. And that's why we're getting together all these different producers from all our major commodity markets through our livestock sectors, getting it together so we can talk together instead of over each other, rather than over each other, talking collaboratively on what we can do to lower fertilizer, open more markets, lowering other input costs, protecting our farmer, protecting our farmland, lowering taxes for our farmers, all these different things that really affects profitability for our farming community. And I'm so excited to get this off and running.
I know that you've kind of touched on this, but what is the future of Iowa when it comes to ag? I mean, we know corn, we know soybeans, we've got hogs, we've got cattle. There's so many things that you have there, but also biofuels a big part of that. What's the future of ag in Iowa?
And that's a great question. And it all goes together. I mean, all our rural communities really hinge on the success of agriculture. So we have to make sure that we as a state understand that we are the breadbasket of the world and the backbone of our economy is ag. And that's why we're putting this group together to again, push the agenda and make sure that all ag sectors are profitable and that we have places to go with all our goods. And that's what we're working on. And I'm just so excited to see it in Iowa, but we want it all over the country. We feed the world, our country does, and we got to make sure that we continue to do that.
And the last one here for you is you just step back. I've kind of driven this conversation down the road of Farm Bill, year-round E15, things that are going on in the White House. But there's so many conversations that happen behind the scenes in the halls of Congress and after hours. When you step back and look at what's coming down the road, what else do you see that that is on your radar and is important not only for ag, but for rural America?
Yeah, I think the big issue, and this goes back to ways and means, is that you got to look at input costs. And one of the big input costs is health insurance. So this is going to be the next big bill. We're going to try to get it done in the reconciliation part two. But when the farming community, a lot of them buy their own health insurance. And if you're talking $24,000 to $30,000 a year for some of these farmers. So we're looking to lower that cost by making sure we have transparency, making sure that they can pay in cash, making sure there's more competition, make sure we lower pharmaceuticals. All these things are going to be in this next reconciliation bill. That is very, very significant. And that's sort of what's being talked about in the halls of Congress today and the next couple of weeks.
Always great to see you. Hope you'll come back and see us soon. And hopefully next time you come by, we'll be congratulating you on year-round E15 and the passage of a farm bill. Come back and see us.
Great to be with you, Tony. We will get the farm bill passed and we will get E15 passed. Thank you so much.
Again, it's the Honorable Randy Feenstra. He's a member of the House Ag Committee and the House Ways and Means Committee from Iowa. I'm Tony St. James. This is the Agribusiness Report.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
It's the Agribusiness Report. U.S. dairy production expanding sharply last year, expected to remain strong this year as herd growth, productivity gains, and export demand continue shaping the sector outlook. USDA reporting the dairy herd averaged nearly 9.5 million head. It's the largest since the early 1990s. Milk per cow averaged over 24,000 pounds. That's up about 1.2% year over year. Total milk production up 2.8%, strongest annual gain since 2006, supported by reduced culling, stronger beef on dairy incentives. Operationally, though, milk components increased alongside total output. Milk fat production up nearly 5%, skim solids up over 3%, and expanded processing capacity came online in Idaho, Texas, Kansas, South Dakota, Michigan, and New York. It's the Agribusiness Report.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Let's talk about supply chains. Each year, Cotton Incorporated's global supply chain marketing team has hundreds of meetings with brands and retailers in all corners of the globe. They're working to find innovative ways to replace synthetic fabrics with natural, sustainable cotton to expand your customer base and drive more demand. You grow the cotton. The Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins.
Beyond the response, including the full support of our aircraft and highly skilled complex incident management teams, USDA has also activated our many agencies to prepare for and assist individual residents and communities currently in need. Our Farm Service Agency, working to ensure producers affected by the wildfires have access to emergency programs immediately that enable them to immediately recover and rebuild. Our Natural Resources Conservation Service stands ready to assist with conservation management following this disaster, including support through our Emergency Watershed Protection Program to address post-fire risks like erosion and flooding. We'll fully back emergency support function requests from FEMA, including situating our staff alongside FEMA in disaster recovery centers to work one-on-one with disaster survivors.
It's the Agribusiness Report.